Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And that's my favorite greeting. But I mean it every time, and I mean it fresh every time. He's moving by His Spirit, making things like they should be. The Father, we can learn a lot from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit assesses everything. And when the Father makes a judgment call, Jesus does it. I love it. God loves us. Remember, everything that's made was made by Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the architect. And Father, He governs all things. I love Him. See, we're made in the image and likeness of God. If you want to understand God, you have to look at Adam. God put Adam in the same position that he was in. Adam had to choose the way that the course of his way, just like God did. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom said, "In the beginning of his way, he chose wisdom." See, now the Lord put something on my heart that I've been longing to do. But I don't just do stuff because I want to. He brought it to me. The band that I was in, we had a discussion. I was showing them facts about the enemy and the world that was and the first war. And we're going to cover those. I got the same scriptures I used then. The Lord, I'm doing this at the Lord's order. He gave me the go-ahead to do this yesterday. And I said, well, I knew that was something I wanted to do. So I wanted to make sure. I said, Lord, you want me to go ahead and do that? He said, I need it. I said, okay. I understand. That's when I knew that this is not just one of my dreams that I want to do. This is God's. He prompted me to do this. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to share what I shared with them, with you, and other scriptures as well. Now, I'm doing this to clear up some things. I've seen people, the Holy Spirit can't use a misinterpretation of Scripture to bless someone. He's the Spirit of truth, and He only tells the truth. So He can't use deception. Sometimes people believe things wrong, and they taught it as truth. Well, I've never seen the Holy Spirit use a misinterpretation to bless people. If when the Holy Spirit gives a man a message, it's from the properly interpreted Word of God, or what they used to like to say, the rightly divided Word of God, or I like to say the Spirit of the Word. See, the Spirit of the Word is the essence of what God is saying. It's the factual meaning that He presented to us. That's what the Holy Spirit will use, and that's all the Holy Spirit will use. In my relationship with the Holy Spirit, He's never used a lie, ever. And He will not, and He can't, because He's the Holy Spirit of truth. He represents Himself to us seven ways, according to Isaiah 11. You know, He's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, and of the fear of the Lord. So we have to, if I left one out, it's written right there in Isaiah 11. But in all things, He's the Spirit of truth. So I'm going to go forward with what the Lord has done. Now, you know, I want to also point out this about the Lord. The evil, this is what I was meditating on yesterday, how the Lord don't have He uses natural things to represent evil. He don't teach us evil. He taught that He had to use a tree. God can't create evil. It's not in His way. It's not in His character. It's not in His heart or His mind. So He made a tree and told Adam, "The day you eat off this tree, you should surely die." This gave Adam, this was the closest thing for Adam to have, or he had to choose something. He had to choose on purpose with intent to do the right thing. And that tree represented all the things, the beautiful things that we must reject. See, Sin exists because it tries to take something that wasn't given. Sin exists because people want something beautiful and they try to attain it and it's not for them. So in God's house, you have to choose to live in God's kingdom. This is a personal choice that nobody can choose but you. And God, the Lord set up salvation the same way. We don't bear branches. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. All right, we're branches. We were grafted in the kingdom of God. Even, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're grafted in. All right, that's how you become branches. You choose of your own free will, I want God's way. God is telling me the truth, Satan's telling me a lie, I'm going with God. That's what you're doing when you ask the Lord to save you. I'm taking God's plan. I'm receiving salvation from my Father God. All right. And it's by your choice. And it's by everybody's choice. One preacher said, God don't have any grandchildren. The kingdom of God is a volunteer army. Everybody wants to be in it and everybody join. So, even what about the babies that die? Well, they're in the kingdom of God. They're raised by angels. All they know is light. So, as long as they did choose. When by the light that they did receive, they're surrounded by is they're in the kingdom of God. They don't know sin. And they get to, and as they grow, that's what they chose. So even little children that die, they chose to be in heaven. Nobody in their right mind would leave a place like that. But when you're born in sin, now you gotta break through the web of darkness and the culture and the ways of men and reach and you want God. You don't know everything, but you know God is good and you're reaching out to God through Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ makes sense to you, you love God. You have love in you because it's true. You've never seen him and yet you believe it. Okay. So God can't create, he don't create evil. And he don't create evil to teach us anything. He made a tree. He said, don't eat off that tree. And he had a right to do that because he made it. And he had to give us a reference. But what did man do? He ate off the tree. And then he died. Death began to work in him. And the day he ate off it is the day he died. Now, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years. So Adam lived to be 930 years. The 24-hour day is a day to Adam, but Adam would have died on Sunday of the covenant week. The covenant week is the 6,000 years represented by our time. God made, he created the earth in 6 days. Well, he restored the earth in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. He created the earth alone when he created the heavens a long time ago. And that's what we're going to point out. Some people will call this the gap theory, but that's because somebody taught it wrong and they said, well, this is a theory. This is not a theory. The way they taught it wrong is more of a theory than this is. This is the way it went down, folks. And I saw this before anybody taught me this. I saw these clues, but I was taught by the creation theory. The gap theory is not what really happened, because that lines up with all the scriptures, not just the mind of men. Men like to say, well, the earth is 6,000 years, and no. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. Now we're going to learn as we look down, everything God do is good. He points out that it's good, okay, except for Monday. On Monday, he divided the waters from the waters. He didn't say that was good because it was not good. And Pastor Jim pointed that out. Now we're dealing with our days, okay? God is using a fraction of time, which is our time, to represent his time. Now, the people he was communicating with understood this. All right, and we'll cover that later. In the beginning, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, in order for God being someone who makes things good, why would the earth be without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep? Darkness. Anytime you see darkness, something happened. Why would there's a reason for the darkness, just like there's a reason that the earth was void and desolate. The earth was without form. All right, if God made it, it's going to have good form. If God made it, it's going to have life. And when God makes something, it's beautiful. It's not dark. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was flooded. Now, this is the flood that Peter was talking about. The earth was in and out of water. See, in the days of in Noah's flood, the earth was you couldn't see the mountains. Okay, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now I'm always talking about the Holy Spirit moving. God is moving by His Spirit, and He is. It didn't say He ever stopped either. And He's moving in my life. And in the life of all that invite Him, and those that He's looking for people that His eyes go to and fro on the earth, looking for people that will receive Him, looking for people that would sincerely love Him. All right, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now watch what happens here. Now understand, everything God is doing is communication. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God is communicating with all creation. All the angels, all the planets and people that He had created. Now remember, there was no light. There was darkness on the face of the deep. The sun and the stars were off. Remember something. He didn't turn on the suns and stars till the, fourth day? And so here it is, Sunday. This is the first day. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God chose the light and rejected the darkness. He hated that darkness. He didn't want that darkness. The darkness has served a purpose. Every time God turned off the suns and stars, that's because He's doing judgment. So I'm going to pause for a moment and let's look at some other scriptures. Now, this is Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Now Jesus is teaching them about end time things. And they asked Him, would He set up His kingdom? And He started teaching them about the end time things that's going to happen. He said, okay, 24, let's start at the beginning. This will make it clear. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, let me back up. Okay. Verse 1. this will clear it up good. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Now, you know that's the end of the world system, because the meek will inherit the earth. They understood that, the end of the world system. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's what the Antichrist will do, and that's what others will do, and you know, and other wannabes will do. And the Lord knew this. Then he said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." This is not limited to the great tribulation. This has been happening in every century. Men and women have died. Children have died because Satan hates God. And his people who are in league with him through sin, they do his bidding. Anytime a man gets in sin, any kind of sin, pride, lust, greed, fornication, anything, they ultimately become the enemy of God to the point that they will kill you. Now, some people don't get to that point. They just get in sin and indulge themselves. They become an enemy of God in their own way. And when people start doing dark stuff, they separate. They always separate. And their heart gets harder. And then they justify what they're doing. And then Satan controls their life from that point on. Unless they come back to the Lord. But if you get too far out there, you won't come back. And this is why the wars happen. This is why the murders happen. And this is an ongoing thing. It's just going, every generation gets worse. See, in the world, it gets worse. But those that love God, they get strong and they break through the veil of darkness. Okay, continuing. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And we see that today. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. For many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This is something that has been going on from the beginning, since once Adam ate off the tree. This is a paradigm. It happens over and over and over again. It's all throughout the Old Testament. When, you know, from the time Israel became a nation, they would backslide and do all of this. And they would worship other gods. Wars would happen. God would raise up somebody to help them win. And then they'll enjoy peace for about 40 years. And it'll happen all over again. So this has happened so many times. All right, he said, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." See, the Lord's going to make sure everybody gets a sincere chance to be saved. And what they do with that is up to them. See, we bear fruit. We don't bear branches. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me," he said, "you'll bear much fruit." We don't control people into salvation. We bear fruit. And they see the fruit, and you know, the fruit of our life, the fruit of our conduct, our sincere love, sincere preaching, sincere singing, God-inspired talk and speech, fruit. We bear fruit, and then they receive it or they reject it. If they receive it, they become branches of their own free will. And then God will use them to bear fruit. And any real Christian will bear fruit. A false Christian don't bear fruit. They're wretched, poor. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. When they choose the world, when the world is operating in them, they become like the Laodicean church, something God will spit out, just like Eli's sons. Okay. Then he said this, "When When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. See, Orthodox Jews they only go 3/4 of a mile on the Sabbath day. So they'll run and they'll stop and they'll get killed. That's why he said that. In the wintertime, it's hard. And if you have little children, it's hard to run. You got to run for your life at this point. And they're going to go to the mountains where God is going to cleave it and protect them there. Okay, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor shall ever be. This is going to be worse than what happened in the war before God made Adam. Okay, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now watch this. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now watch this now. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And watch this now, watch. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Everything is darkened again, because God, when Jesus comes to the ground, he's coming to fight. He's coming to do judgment. He's going to come in his glory, and everything's going to go dark, and all you'll see is his light. And he's going to conquer this thing. See, when God does judgment, he turns the lights off. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels and a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, all of this is going to happen. The point is this. When God does judgment, he turns the lights off. He's communicating with creation. When he led Lot to go out of Sodom, he told them to leave and not look back. All right. When Lot's wife looked back, she turned the salt. God turned the lights off at judgment time. All right, let's look at Joel chapter 3. This is going to be a part 2. So please listen to part 2, because I'm building the case, and the rest of it is going to be it's very important too. Okay, Joel. I'm using my Bible on my phone, and I have to scroll to find it. Okay, here we go. Joel chapter 3. All right. This is Joel the prophet speaking. He said, for behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all the nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead for them with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land, you know, down to Megiddo, basically. See, we know about the exodus of Egypt. But now, see, the king of Assyria scattered out Israel, and Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem out of their land. And they never really went back. They're going back now. But, you know, they're regathering. They got a nation again now. But all of them are not back yet. Some of them are still scattered out. So, he's making this point. Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And that happened. They regathered Israel. That was a miracle all by itself in 47. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. This is the hatred of the world. This is why the judgment happened. This is the same hatred that happened before God made Adam that caused the earth to be void and desolate. That's true. That's not a theory. Because the curse causes will not come. Okay. Danger and destruction don't happen by out of a whim. It happens because people do stuff. All right. He said, verse 4, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon and the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, I will return your recompense upon your own head. He's going to throw it back at them. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried it into your temples, my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians. See, other nations are in it too. The Greeks were in it. That ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have told them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people afar off, for the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither, because cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Now this is the prophet speaking in verse 11. Let the heathen be wakened. And come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. See, the armies of the world are going to gather together to try to fight Jesus. And that's scripture. That's what's in, I saw that in Revelation. I'll find it. All right, verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now watch this. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Here it is again. This is the second time that's going to happen. This is the same thing Jesus was referencing in Mark, in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 23. This is the same thing that Joel is referencing. The sun, the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Don't forget that it's very important. Every time the Lord do this, this is what he does. He's communicating. He's setting the standard. He's showing people his side of things. He's doing judgment against wickedness. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water, the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. See, justice is going to happen, and it's going to happen righteously. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Order is going to be set on the seventh day. This is Saturday. This is the Sabbath of the covenant week. This is the beginning of the Sabbath of the covenant week. Now, the covenant week is God's time. Sunday was when Adam was created. And, I may go back and list the events that happened. Now, Jesus, he came and died for us on Wednesday. Actually, he died for us on a Wednesday evening. He was dead. He laid his life down on the cross. He went 3 days and three nights was he in hell. On the third day he rose. If you count back from Sunday, first light Sunday, it'll be Wednesday evening. And it was on a Wednesday that he died. And it was in the covenant week, he died on a Wednesday. So it's been about 2,000 years. It's time for him to return and begin Saturday. It's Friday right now, according to the covenant week. Now, we're going to get back to that. Now, I'm out of time for now, but this is a part two. We're going to come right back to it. So go to listen to part two. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you and Jesus Christ.